I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. So ye would abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now we need to remember that he's talking to a local church. He's talking to a Baptist church. So he's talking to. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, sensual desires, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud or cheat or swindle or take advantage of his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you in testifying. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly or decently toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. We see here in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So Paul had instructed them here concerning how that they ought to live, how that they were to possess their bodies, how they were to use their bodies. And so he starts out by saying, furthermore. In other words, he was saying he has more to say how you ought to walk and please the Lord. So these first 9 verses primarily deals with holiness and sanctification. In each of Paul's letters, he has followed the same method here. In the first portion of the letter, he deals with doctrine, and then he closes the letter by making practical application of those doctrines. And I believe that this is the kind of preaching that will produce a balanced church. We must know what we believe, but we must also practice what we believe or what we preach. I believe that's very important. We live what we believe. We live what we believe. Don't forget that. And I believe this is what he was saying. And so He says, we beseech you, or we beg you, or we plead with you, brethren, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus. And so he's very serious about this call here. As you have been taught by us, these people have the privilege of being taught by the Apostle Paul how that they should walk and how that they should please the Lord. Notice there in verse 2, see, he says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. It'd be a wonderful blessing to the world if Christian people knew how to walk and please the Lord. And this is what he was teaching them. He was teaching them how that they ought to walk and please the Lord. How we live. How we conduct ourselves. How we live our Christian life is unto the Lord. Don't worry about anybody else. You worry about what the Lord thinks of how you're living, how you conduct your Christian life. And many people have been taught, but it's sad that they're not interested in pleasing the Lord. And that ought to be our number one concern. Is what I believe and what I practice in my Christian life is pleasing the Lord. And may we always be concerned about pleasing the Lord. Do you ever wonder about what you do? If it's pleasing to the Lord or not? How often do you think about that? I believe this should be thought of often by each one of us. May we desire to please the Lord in each and everything that we do. In the book of Colossians, just turn back here a page or two, in Colossians chapter 3, let us look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, whatever you do in word or deed, your actions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The husbands loving their wives the way that they ought to, that is pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obeying and respecting their parents, that is also pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. You'd be surprised that many people that's members of Baptist churches is living their life supposedly for the Lord because of the preacher. I'm serious. It's to be unto the Lord. What does the Lord think about my Christian life? What does the Lord think about my service? Is He pleased with my life as a Christian? Knowing that of the Lord, You shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That got every one of us. So every one of us are going to have to give an account to God for our service for the Lord. And this is what he was telling the members here at the church at Thessalonica. And so we see here that and he's dealing with the Christian life as a walk. And he deals a lot with that throughout his writings. The Christian life can be compared to a walk. And this is one of Paul's favorite pictures. He deals with that throughout the Bible and the letters that he wrote. Look back here in Ephesians, and I just want to draw your attention to a few verses here in the book of Ephesians. Turn to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let us notice verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That you walk worthy. Look at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What is the world seeing in your life? How bright is your light? To a lot of people, they can't see any difference in us as Christians as they do people that's living in the world. We dress like the world, we talk like the world, live like the world, and we say that we're Christians, we say that we're saved by the grace of God, but what does the world see in us? How do they see the way that we're walking? Is there a difference in the way that we walk and the world that we're in every day? Are they able to see a difference? And I believe this is what Paul was getting at. He said our walk ought to be different. And so he uses this as an example here. Now, notice in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let us notice verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And let us notice verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with another. Not with me and you, but we have fellowship with the Lord. We have fellowship one with another, with me and the Lord. Y'all see that? And so, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. So if we're going to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to have to walk in light as He is in the light. We can't walk in darkness out here, go along with the world, talk like the world, go wherever the world goes, dress like the world dresses, and say that we're in fellowship with the Lord. Do y'all see the seriousness of this? And so He uses this walk, how that we ought to walk, and to please Him. And so, in verse 1, He said that as you have received of us, Paul had taught them how that they ought to walk. He had preached this before. He had taught them before how that they were to walk and to please the Lord. This was not the first time that they heard it. And this won't be the first time that you've heard it from me. He taught them over and over and over. I just showed you several passages of Scripture where He had taught them how that they ought to walk and please the Lord. That as you have received of us, Paul set the example. Paul set the example. How you ought to walk and please God so you would abound more and more. And so, He's very serious about this. He beseeched them. He exhorted them. This was a very serious matter with the Apostle Paul. How that these people ought to be living a holy, sanctified life for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul mentions a threefold walk here for us to follow throughout this chapter. In verses 1 through 8, he deals with walking in holiness. Verses 9 and 10, we are to walk in harmony. In verses 11 and 12, we are to walk honestly. So this will be our main outline in this fourth chapter. Walking in holiness, walking in harmony, walking honestly. Write that right up above that chapter. That's what it deals with. We want to begin by walking in holiness. Paul gave four reasons why they were to live a holy life and abstain from the sensual lusts. And he's very clear on this. And so the first reason was there in verse 1, that we might please God. That's reason number 1. That we might please God. Everybody's lives, you know, we try to please everybody. We all live to please people. To please somebody. Do we not? Don't you live to please your wife? Sure you do. Your wife lives to please you. And so, and sometimes we live to please ourselves. And we can't go through life just pleasing ourselves. Now you think about that for a minute. Now we're talking about pleasing the Lord. But how much of our time do we spend pleasing ourselves? We say, I can't do that. I can't live like that. What are we doing? And what are we saying when we say that? The bottom line is, we want to please ourselves. That's a little hard. That's a little difficult. I can't do that. I can't practice that. And look at Romans chapter I believe it's chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And not to please ourselves. That's a little uncomfortable for me. So therefore, we don't practice it. We don't live it. Because it's a little hard. It's a little difficult. And so pleasing the Lord ought to be the major motive of our Christian life. The main motive of our Christian life. Children should live to please their father. Jesus said Himself there in the Gospel of John. He said, I do always those things that please Him. And Jesus Christ is our example. He pleased the Father in everything. And we're to strive to please our Heavenly Father in everything. And I know I don't always do that. But it bothers me when I don't do that. I often walk up and down this road. Try to walk it every day. At least 4 days a week, 2 miles a day. And I do a lot of praying walking from here up to the corner and back. And the biggest part of the time, I am confessing my shortcomings to the Lord. I desire to live a holy, dedicated, consecrated Christian life. And when I don't, it bothers me. It really bothers me. And it ought to bother us. And so we need to please the Lord from the heart. From the heart. It's not going to do any good if it's not. Look with me in the book of Ephesians. Again here. In Ephesians chapter 6. Notice in verse 6. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. And you may be sitting there and saying, Brother Jones, there's a lot of things that I know I ought to do that I don't do. Are we doing it from the heart? That makes a whole lot of difference. When you do it from the heart. And if we're not doing it from the heart, we're doing it from the flesh. And that won't, you can't depend on the flesh. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. You're not going to serve the Lord in the flesh. But when you do it from the heart, that's when you're serving the Lord. When you do it from the heart. Another reason to live a holy life is to obey God. In verse 2 and 3. He said, For you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And so another reason we're to live a holy, dedicated, consecrated Christian life, a sanctified life, a set-apart life, is to obey God. Not only to please God, but to obey God. We must realize we must obey orders. And our headquarters is in heaven. And those orders come from the captain of our salvation. Have you looked at it from that standpoint? So here in verse 2, Paul had commanded them to walk according to the principles of God's Word. And he reminds them that they had been taught this before. And it's doubtful that they fully appreciated the privilege of having a preacher like the Apostle Paul to teach them these blessed truths concerning holiness and sanctification of life. Paul was faithful to God to teach them the doctrine of sanctification, holiness. He taught them that. And many churches today are not fortunate enough or blessed enough to have a preacher that even knows the Word of God. And those that do have a faithful preacher that will preach them these things seldom appreciate what he has preached concerning the truth, concerning holiness and sanctification. Many times, many members will turn their ear off to it. It's like turning the radio on and off. When the preacher gets to preaching about dedication and consecration and holiness and sanctification, a set-apart life, immediately they'll turn the preacher off. Now in verse 3, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed... Now I'm in the wrong verse. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So now in verse 3, Paul reminds them once again that sexual immorality did not please the Lord. God created sex. And He has the authority to govern its use. From the beginning, He established marriage as a sacred union between one man and one woman. That's what God established. God did not establish all this homosexualism, all the lesbianism that is a sin. Well, I believe that they were born like that. No, they weren't born like that. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. You're practicing, if you practice those things, you're practicing them because of your old stinking flesh. Pardon the expression. But I believe that's the truth. It's because of the depraved nature that you have. And it is sin, and God hates it. And so God created sex, and He has the authority to govern it. And God created sex both for the continuance of the race and for the pleasure of the marriage partners. Now don't get all shook up because you know you watch worse than that on television. But that's the truth. It is His will that we be sanctified, that we be set apart. And the sin that He is dealing with here is fornication. And some people today and some parents are saying today that premarital relationship is all right. But they have no authority from the Word of God to say such a thing. No authority from the Word of God, none whatsoever.
people who are guilty of violating God's Word concerning His God-ordained way for man and for one woman will be dealt with by God. Premarital sex is not right. Having live-ins is not right. It's a sin. And God is going to deal with it. Abstain from fornication has always been the commandment of God, and it remains the commandment of God today. Abstain from fornication. And kids, who's going to tell you this? Who's going to preach this to you if I don't? Who's going to tell you this is wrong if mom and dad doesn't? Because the world is doing it, and because the majority of the teenage kids that you go to school with are doing it, does not make it right. It's wrong, it's sin, and God is going to deal with it. We are to live separated lives in purity of mind and also in purity of body. Now remember, He's talking to a bunch of church members here. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to a bunch of church members here, and no doubt this very thing was going on in the church at Thessalonica. And you'd be surprised the amount of fornication and adultery that goes on in a lot of independent missionary Baptist churches. And it's wrong. And God is going to deal with it. Young people, the devil will work harder than everything to get you to throw your life away by committing this sin of fornication. Girls, you young girls, you protect your virginity. You protect it. Don't you throw it away. You save your virginity for your husband. That's God's ordained plan. Boys, you also protect yours. Because the law is still the same. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap it. You say, oh, well, it won't be that bad. It's going to be bad. You're going to reap what you sow. You'll pay dearly for committing this sin of fornication. The Bible says, if you can't contain, marry. It's better to marry than to burn. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. So by committing this sin, you bring shame upon the Lord, and not only upon the Lord, but you bring shame upon your church, you bring shame upon yourself, and you bring shame upon your family. So, well, that's plain and to the point. I'm just telling you the truth, kids. Another reason to live holy, dedicated, consecrated Christian lives is that we might glorify God in verse 4 and 5. That we might glorify God. And I believe this is a positive side of God's commandments. We're to be different from the unsaved. Here in verse 4, he said that every one of you should know how to possess his His vessel in sanctification and honor. Possess His vessel means control His body. Control His body. He's teaching them how that they are to control their vessel. Control their bodies. Our vessel, our bodies, are the vessels of God. You don't belong. It don't belong to you. It's the Lord's. And it dishonors Him and it disgraces Him when we dishonor Him with our bodies. When we dress contrary to what the Bible teaches. We talk contrary to what the Bible teaches. We live contrary to what we know the Word of God teaches. And I know sometimes we've got to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and then praise the Lord, one day we hear it. And then we straighten up and we start living the way God would have us to live. It took me a while with this, with separation. But finally the Lord got through to me. I went in the house one day, opened up my drawer, had a bathing suit in there, had some tank tops in there, grabbed them, took them off the burner, burned them up. You said, that's old-fashioned preaching. Don't need that. I believe that dishonors the Lord. When I go around in a muscle shirt and show off my muscles and show off my tattoos, vainglory, I believe that dishonors the Lord. Our bodies are to be covered. Both men and women. I really believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe that's what He's teaching here. So we are to control our bodies. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen or human vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God is at work with every one of us. He's still working on me. We're to control our bodies. We are to control our emotions. We are to control our lustful appetites. We're not animals. And we shouldn't imitate them. To possess our vessels in sanctification, in honor, is to simply marry. And I believe that's what He's getting at here. So if we glorify God in our bodies, then we can glorify Him in the body, which is His church. But we're not going to glorify Him in His church if we're not glorifying Him in our bodies, our physical bodies. Did y'all see that? How can we? How can we glorify Him in His church if we're not glorifying Him with our human bodies, our flesh? There's a whole lot more to this than what we think, isn't there? And I know the grace of God has got to teach us. I know that. Look, in fact, turn over here with me in one verse here. We'll close. Over here in Titus chapter 2. I want to read two verses. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Now I want you to notice here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. teaching us? What's teaching us? The grace of God. The grace of God. We believe that the grace of God covers a lot of area. Covers everything except sanctification and holiness. We know and believe that the grace of God can do a lot of things. But it can do everything but help us to be sanctified, to be holy, to be dedicated and consecrated in our service for the Lord. Why is that? Why is that? We accept the grace of God in salvation. We accept the grace of God in a lot of other things and in a lot of areas. When it comes down to sickness and comes down to death and sorrow and so on, and we can accept the grace of God and we'll receive the grace of God in those times. But why can't we receive it during this time that we're to be holy and dedicated and consecrated, sanctified for the Master's use? Why can't we receive it then? I'll tell you why. We're fighting it. We fight this old flesh. But he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." It's the grace of God that's teaching us. The grace of God is going to teach you how that you're to live your life. How you're to conduct yourself. It's all by the grace of God. You all see that. The whole Christian life is by the grace of God from start to finish. Even in our sanctification and holiness.